Great news. K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas is almost here.
And the San Bernardino International Airport is ready to make you a VIP.
That's right. Stop by the K-Rock stage for your chance to win a first-class upgrade to the backstage VIP party.
Say hi to us, see the bands being interviewed, enjoy food, drinks, and have a great night with K-Rock and the San Bernardino International Airport.
Plus, visit flysbd.com to find the hottest travel deals on Breeze Airways from San Bernardino International Airport to San Francisco or Provo, Utah.
That's flysbd.com.
See you at the party.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Great news. K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas is almost here.
And the San Bernardino International Airport is ready to make you a VIP.
That's right. Stop by the K-Rock stage for your chance to win a first-class upgrade to the backstage VIP party.
Say hi to us, see the bands being interviewed, enjoy food, drinks, and have a great night with K-Rock and the San Bernardino International Airport.
Plus, visit flysbd.com to find the hottest travel deals on Breeze Airways from San Bernardino International Airport to San Francisco or Provo, Utah.
That's flysbd.com.
See you at the party.
This is the world famous K-Rock.
We are on the eve of Election Day, which I think is putting a lot of people in an uneasy sort of place right now, regardless of how you want things to pan out. Just the idea that tomorrow will be the beginning of a new chapter in America.
I love Trump, ba-da-ba-da-ba.
We get it, Allie. Allie is not allowed to get within 200 yards of a polling place because she's been spewing her agenda.
America's boring.
I get it.
Hey,
you're saying what you're saying.
That, in a way, is true. But I think that they have worn me down enough to the point where I don't care who wins. I just want the text to stop.
Ah, yeah. That's eventually what it's all about.
Getting so many.
You're getting harassed from both sides, too. They know that Allie is very easily persuaded. And with the promise of a sticker, any candidate can get her support. So anyway, we've got lots of things going on today to potentially distract you from the inevitable future that will be the next 4 years of this country, good, bad, or otherwise. And the first thing we can do to distract you is give away a trip to Vegas. So, a lot of people last week qualified. They're on this standby list I have right here. And they're all going to go to Vegas regardless. But one of them, we're going to fly out, put them up VIP style, and that will be whoever answers this phone call. Hope it's you.
Hello.
Good morning. Who have we called?
My name is Kevin.
Kevin, do you know who we are?
I believe this is K-Rock.
You're absolutely correct. You've got Klein Allie from K-Rock on the phone with you right now to welcome you. First of all, the daylight savings, you're all caught up on that, right?
Yes, I am.
All right, now let's get to the only reason we actually called. You have been moved from the regular old list to the VIP boarding list. You're flying to Vegas, and we're giving you some hotel for when we were young.
All right. Thank you.
You still waking up?
Yeah, the baby's asleep on you, so.
Baby sleeping on you is the best feeling ever. Is it your baby or a random baby?
It's my baby.
Oh, okay. I take back what I said.
Boring.
All right, well, listen, congratulations. I know you can't really celebrate now, but you'll be going VIP style. You got VIP tickets. You get to stay at Resorts World.
Yeah, you'll probably sleep for once.
Round trip airfare for two people, so enjoy that.
Thank you.
That's all you need, guys. You want to win stuff from us, you need that lucky baby. Lucky baby laying on your body, and we call with the good news. Big hour to get into. We'll tell you all about it, plus some import-export after this on K-Rock. K-Rock, we are Klein Alley Show. If you need us, and you will need us if you want things from us, because we've got Kings tickets to give you later this morning. The number is 800-520-1067. Remember those numbers. You can text the show. Fully interactive experience here at K-Rock. If you have thoughts, comments, critiques, concerns, you can join us live on that phone line. Text us your thoughts, or you can hop on the GOAT line. That number is 844-956-GOAT.
You know, when children get to be a certain age, they realize that they can throw things, hit people, really release their rage. It's when they're just kind of developing different emotions, but they don't really know how to regulate them yet.
Yeah, it's like a good old-fashioned, just a raw tantrum.
Yeah.
It's always fun when it's someone else's kids. You're watching, like at Disney, you're watching someone else's kids have a tantrum. You're like, that's great, but it's great because it's not happening to me.
I know, and it's so uncomfortable to see it at a grocery store because the parent is like, oh my God, what do I do? Everyone's watching me. It's so uncomfortable.
Right.
But there are some experts now saying why let kids have all the fun when it comes to tantrums. And yes, kids are not able to regulate their emotions, but even as an adult, when you have a lot more responsibility and a lot more stressors, it's not like you're probably any better at regulating your emotions as an adult with all these other things going on. So it would be very healthy emotionally to have an adult tantrum.
I've seen adults have tantrums in public. It's also real funny, too, because
they usually at fast food restaurants when they throw the registers at the...
Yeah, it's a lot of that sort of like, what do you mean? No nuggets. I order nuggets.
Yeah.
Like, there are those moments. Usually hangry is involved in that. I feel like that's
also
part of it.
Oh, my God. When I'm hungry, yes.
That's why, like, sometimes when you see a child having a tantrum, and even though you go, man, I wish I could... Like, I'm past that point.
I wish I had, like, raw emotion like that.
But I understand it. Like, I can relate with that. That kid is hungry. They're tired. They are stressed the F out. And they are now just letting it all out. And as adults, part of the deal is we got to, like, kind of keep it together, at least in public.
Yeah.
At least till therapy.
I don't know about you, but I don't know if you remember this, but I can look in my son's eyes and see him go, I am so angry. What do I do? And then look at me and just run over to me and hit me. You know, you can just see him going, I don't know what to do with this feeling.
You've taught him well.
But I need to...
Gotta hit something.
What am I going to take this out on?
Well, you're very hittable. We've all said that about you.
Yeah, well...
But we can't
teaching
do
him
that.
To hit women.
Right. Here in the workplace...
Good times. Hitting women.
No, I love it.
Maybe he heard
what I teach my son.
Maybe he heard you say that over and over again all the time. And
he's like, well, she said.
I learned it from watching you, Mom, okay?
But I guess they said that the important thing is to get all of the angry energy out of your system just like a toddler would, because you can also see their come down. After they do all that, you can see them get more relaxed and they're, okay, now I'm ready for a snack, or now I'm ready for a nap, or now I'm ready to play again.
Well, that's why they've attempted over the years to, you know, the rage rooms and the break rooms.
Yeah, so they're trying to say how to do it safely, because you're supposed to, like, go into a room by yourself, scream, hit a pillow, whatever. But I don't think that's as fun as doing it in front of people.
Yeah, that's not a real tantrum. If you're having a, quote, adult tantrum, and you're doing it in a responsible way, that's not a tantrum.
Exactly. I don't think you get the same release as you do with, like, hold on, I might get arrested.
Right. I know people, like, you know, you see, obviously, road rage would probably be the most common sort of tantrum that adults have, when, like, all of a sudden things are fine, then one guy does one thing and it just sets you off and you start screaming and yelling.
And a lot of people get that like that around, driving and things like that,
And
too.
Also, as we get towards, like, into the holidays now, it is just the most stressful, stress-inducing time of the year. It's not supposed to be. But for some reason, it is.
But if there was more normalizing of adult tantrums, maybe there would be less actual... Maybe it wouldn't lead to actual violence.
Well, how
you know
about
what
this?
I mean?
I got an idea. You know, at the airport, they've got a lot of those rooms they've turned into, like, indoor dog, little, like, dog bathrooms, pretty much. And for the most part, those places are gross. I mean, they are really...
It's like perma-pee.
Perma-pee. And if anyone even goes into those things, the whole terminal reeks of dog urine. Why don't you take... They got to have extra rooms, or remove those things and put, like, little adult tantrum rooms. Because I also think the airport is a prime place where you're seeing adults at their most tantrumy. I mean, kids too, but adults.
What do you mean you're throwing out my hairspray?
Right, like it's such a place for tantrums, because we feel, in some ways, you kind of feel like a kid, in the sense that there are people that have rule. Like, you're an adult, usually you live by your own rules, but at the airport, there are people that have rules that you have to play by, and those are rules about when the door closes and what you can bring on the plane, and this, and as a result. That's when I think we really start doing adult tantrumy, when we start hearing other people's rules. Same thing with a kid, where you're like, sorry, you're not having Skittles for breakfast. They're like, I'm not. Punch you, mommy.
But I same also thing. Think that what the toddlers are learning is that it's fun to either throw things or hit people. And if we could find a way to do that safely, can't we bring ourselves into, like, a padded room scenario where we could beat the crap out of each other safely without anyone getting hurt and get the same feeling?
Nah, because once you know the safety, you're not having raw rage. Like, I think the key is...
In the moment.
It's raw, in the moment, right. Emotional release. And once you start trying to, like, figure out how to... Plan that out ahead
of
time.
Here, wait in line first before you release your rage.
Yeah, you gotta buy a ticket. You gotta sign a few waivers first.
I gotta find the pillow room. Excuse me.
Yeah, it's like that. At some point, Yeah, that gets really, like, by the time you finally get into your padded cell to start punching
you're
each other.
You're just so exhausted.
You're like over it. You're like, whatever, this process.
You don't even, yeah, you're right. It happens right then and there. That's when you feel it, and that's when you have to let it out.
But I do agree that the having an adult tantrum, and I'd say probably I still get maybe one of those a year, a good one a year. I think is, you're right, during it, you lose control and you feel...
Yeah, I had a moment yesterday where I felt that. I was trying to install a fan by myself, and I told the fan at one point I wanted to shoot it in the face.
Yeah, yeah. Like, that's good work right there.
I've been there.
Yeah, I get that.
It felt good.
Yeah, that's right. Quick break. We got more show to get to after this quick adult tantrum. Hey, Rock. Klein Alley's show. Sad news to wake up to, that the legendary music producer by the name of Quincy Jones passed away, 91 years old. And yes, responsible for monster hits, a lot of Michael Jackson stuff, a lot of shows we grew up on as well, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. The list goes on and on and on. And it's very strange because I have lived in L.A. since 2006. And for the most part, I'm as normal gets, Sally, right? Just regular... regular wife, regular kids. I don't do A-list stuff. I don't get invited to good parties unless it's K-Rock related and we're there because we're working. But I've had a few stories in my time in L.A. that would only happen in L.A. They're like my real L.A. stories that I think back. And whenever my friends from back east are like, what's it like in L.A.? I'm like, most days are exactly the same. I go to the grocery store, go to Starbucks, go home, nothing. But then every once in a while... it'll be a story like I ended up playing random tennis with Steve Carell. Like, yeah. I like five or six stories that stand out as like, wow, that is a weird-ass story.
Or you're like, I saw Pauly Shore in the produce aisle.
Right, like that sort of stuff. But, you know, that's pretty much the extent of it. But my relationship with Quincy Jones is very strange because of all of the people, you know, that I never thought in a million years I would ever, not only ever meet, but ever kind of develop a actual friendship with. I would have said number one on that list is Quincy Jones. Why would I ever cross paths with this man at all?
Right.
Like, he's got so much talent, I have so little. He's responsible for monster successes over the years, I'm responsible for none.
You're complete opposites in every single way.
Opposites in every way.
Everything that guy did was successful.
Everything he touched.
But I think, guy, he likes collaborating. He likes meeting new people and seeking new avenues, right?
Well, it's funny.
That's kind of like, you know, the vibe I get.
Yeah, he wants to surround himself with weirdos because it makes him, you know, creative.
I think there is something. Someone on the text line said, when I was talking about getting invited up to his house for dinner, they said, oh, he was probably doing like a dinner for schmucks thing where he wanted to invite, where he wanted to invite a bunch of like idiots to see how like the rest of us live, and he was studying us, you know?
You can not believe the size of this guy's nose.
So when I used to work at Playboy for many years, I did a radio show that became a TV show, and the show was on in a bunch of countries, but it was not a show that anyone really ever really watched because it was on Playboy TV. And I was thinking to myself, who even has Playboy TV?
Right.
And
well, Quincy Jones did.
Quincy Jones.
And 12-year-olds.
Quincy Jones.
Yeah.
And 12-year-olds were the biggest fans of Playboy TV, apparently, because I would, for the better part of like 2-3 years, people would randomly come up to me and they would say things like, hey, I was at some event, wherever, a fundraiser or something, and Quincy Jones was there. And when I said that I worked at Playboy or whatever, they said, he would say, do you know Kevin Klein?
Mm-hmm.
And they would say, yeah, I know. Yeah, he works down the hall. And you go, tell him to reach out to me. I want to meet him. This was going on for years. And people would randomly tell me this. And I would think, every time they'd say it to me, I'd be like, what are they talking about? There's no way Quincy
Jones. How are you supposed to do that?
And if you're Quincy Jones, isn't that just something you say, like to make conversation?
Ali, I heard it the first
time. Do you know blah, blah, blah? Tell him I want to meet him.
Right.
All right, I'm going to go.
The first few times I heard it, I was like, these are people effing with me. And then eventually, there was someone that came up to me that worked in they worked for a record label, and they said, hey, I was at some record release, and Quincy Jones was there, and you came up. And I'm like, this is so weird. This is like the fifth time that someone has said to me that Quincy Jones brought my name up. I've never met Quincy Jones. I have nothing to offer this guy.
And
zero.
It's so interesting that you're so on his mind.
Right, so. And it's because, apparently, and I found this out after the fact, when I was doing this radio show that was a TV show, he was watching it live every single morning in his, you know, palatial estate. Because that's what he would wake up
on
to.
On how many episodes would you say, percentage-wise, was there full nudity?
Oh, all of them. Not by me, but all of them. And I think that that's probably what kept him coming back. It wasn't me.
Wow.
But regardless, at some point, I said
maybe
to
he thought you held the key.
I said to this person, I said, listen, I can't reach out to Quincy Jones. I have no idea how to reach out to him. Here is my number. If you know him or know him through someone, feel free to pass it along. And he did. And later that day, I got an email from an AOL email address. And it was, I'm not going to say his email, but it was basically like, you know, Quincy.
Quincy loves me at AOL.
It was, and he said, hey, what's up? It's me, Q. I'm having a dinner party. I'd love you to join. And he gave me the address.
Cool.
And it was like that night.
Oh, really?
And I was like, this is the weirdest thing ever. And I showed it to like, I don't even think I was married at the time. I think I showed my girlfriend, my, you know, now my wife. But I was like, this is real? And she's like,
no.
I don't know. She's like, she also didn't really know who Quincy Jones was. So I was explaining to her, like, you know, he's done a lot. She was like, I don't even know who that is.
Right. Well, I think this also, it's because I know that it panned out. This is probably why you fall for scams all the time.
This is probably why, because I always think it's going to be like one of these things. So I end up deciding, I ask a few friends, they're like, dude, even if it's not real, you got to see where this is leading. This is crazy. So I drive to this address. It's all the way at the top of, you basically go like to Sunset all the way to where you'd enter to go to like that fancy Bel Air hotel. You go to the, you pretty much past the road where it says no outlet on the road. Just keep going. That's the directions even said. It just said, keep going up.
Whoa.
Just said, keep going up.
Like him, like his career.
Yeah, like his career. And you finally get all the way to the top, and there's a gate, and I hit the thing, and I'm like,
Was there anything on the gate? Was it like his initials or anything?
No, but it's like you have to hit the button, you know?
Right.
I'm like, hey, I'm here for Quincy Jones, and they're like, what's your name? I'm like,
are you the perv guy? All right, I'll let you in.
I'm like, Kevin Klein, and they go, hold on, and then I'm waiting for them to come up and like laugh at me and
wow.
be like, you fell for it, the stupid idiot. And then they're like, come on in, we'll take your car. And it was the most surreal, maybe one of the more surreal moments of my life. I get out, I walk into this absurd house, maybe the most absurd house I've ever been inside.
Really?
Yeah, because they explain later that I guess he bought the entire top of the mountain and just
built on it.
Built an entire thing on top of it.
Oh,
I mean, the guy's
cool.
The guys, think about it. Like every time any
producers
of those,
make bank.
Anytime
man.
Any of those songs have been played over the last 50 years, Michael Jackson hits. I mean, the guy's cashing
well, that's,
in.
Isn't that still the best selling album of all time?
Probably still is. Yeah, you were just talking about celebrities that dead are still making all that money.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he's getting a big chunk of it. So I walk in and I'm just standing there. Someone comes up. Can I bring you a drink? And I'm still thinking, like, is this a Squid Games operation? What's going on? Like, what exactly is about to happen here? You know, like, and then I see Suzanne Summers.
What?
Yeah, and she walks up
and
to me.
And she's naked.
And no, she's not naked. She's there with her
was
husband.
Was this like a Thighmaster days or?
No, this probably was 2012, I'd say.
Okay. All right, so she was just starting to dwindle.
She's definitely dwindling. Because I thought to myself, I'm like, man, that looks like a worse version of Suzanne Summers. And then she's like, hi, I'm Suzanne. Nice to meet you. And then some other strange like characters developed. And I guess you're right. What he liked to do is we would like to throw these, and this is maybe something that like really successful people do. They like to throw these like gatherings where they take a bunch of people that have nothing in common and sit them at a table.
And just talk.
And just let them like communicate or something. I don't know. It was, so I'm talking to her for a little bit, and then there's some other person that apparently is a big deal in China, and then there's a jazz musician. I don't even know
who
all these people are. And they go, all right, dinner. Someone
God,
walks
what,
around.
So did everyone said what they did for a living, and then you had to answer.
I kept skipping the other people. Like,
all right, Suzanne. Now next,
let
Klein.
That person go again. And then someone walked around with a little bell, like a xylophone bell. Ding, 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 ding. Dinner is served. And by the way, I hadn't seen Quincy yet at all. So I'm thinking to myself, is Quincy even here? I just see all these other people. And then we all go down to some dining chamber, like a dining
chamber?
Room, like a dining room situation. And Quincy walks in wearing a bathrobe.
What?
Yeah. And he's like, thank you all for being here at one of my famous dinners. Please.
The doors are now locked.
You are the dinner.
You have 1 hour to yeah. escape.
So he goes, please meet, talk to each other, introduce yourselves. And then we're going to do some fun live music up in the
what?
Living room.
You hate that.
I hated it. And I couldn't wait to get out of there. And you know me, I'm like not good at uncomfortable situations, but uncomfortable. And so we're just, I'm talking and this and that. At some point, I go, at any point, am I going to get FaceTime with Quincy?
Does he How many people total?
10, 15 people total.
Okay.
I mean, it's pretty intimate. And then I decide after kind of sitting there awkwardly eating, I think most people were talking. I was just all about eating. I was like, I got to load up.
What do you serve?
Oh, it's like dish after dish.
Really?
Rack of lamb and seafood something. And all, I mean, all this stuff is just coming out. And then they put it down. This is what rich people like to do. They put something down, and before you can even eat it, they like another person comes and says, are you done with this now? And they take it away.
What?
This is like what very successful rich people do.
Because they think you just want a bite?
I think they just want to show you they have it. and every time.
Now show a poor person you know before I put it in the trash.
And so they put it down, and I would be like, I got to eat all this, you know? And then I'd see another person come like out of like the left side of me and be like, all right, are you done with this now? I go, but the guy just put it there.
Oh, my God.
And everyone else was allowing them to just do this like song and dance. And I was trying to eat it. So as they'd clear the plate, I'd like jam the fork in it and grab it. They're like, all right, take the plate. And then afterwards, so everyone, he goes, desserts, drinks, and music will be served upstairs.
And so, he had not said hi to you?
No, not even a hello yet. And I walked up and I said, Quincy, I'm Kevin Klein. Apparently you've been trying to find me for 3 years. Here I am. And he goes, did you enjoy the dinner? And I said, yes, it was very good. Thank you. And he goes, are you ready for the music?
Aww.
And I said, I think so. And he goes, all right, you sit with me. And
aww.
I sat next to Quincy Jones on a couch. Wow. And he had some guy come in. This didn't get sexual. No, Omar's trying to make it sexual.
310, it was a Quincy freak-off.
It was not a freak-off.
Get that baby oil.
There was no baby oil. And then he brought in this piano player that I think he flew in that day from Chile or
God,
something.
I wonder how often he did this.
And the guy just started like wailing on the piano, and you could see how into it Quincy Jones was, just watching a musician just
man, I bet your awkward head bobbing was at its prime.
I could not wait, and I really kind of wanted to leave because first of all, I ate way too much of the food, and I knew I had to dump out. I didn't
want to. There's nothing
it.
You hate more than just listening to a piece of music with a small group of people.
I don't know how to react. I don't know where to look. I'm not into it. Like, he's really jamming on the keys here.
Uh-huh.
And I can tell people are into it. And
are people supposed to get up and sing or what?
Well, they're not songs anyone ever. It's just he's doing like
some people are just watching live.
Watching.
Okay.
But everyone seems to know what they're doing.
I wasn't sure if it was like a jam session where people were supposed to.
And I decide I'm going to get up and walk out. I got to get out of here. And I start walking towards the door and Quincy goes, where are you going? And I said, well, this was a nice night. I got to get home. I got a dog to walk. And he gets up and he comes to the door. He says, why don't you come back tomorrow so we can chat?
What?
I swear to you, Allie. I swear to you. The weirdest thing that ever happened.
That's so strange.
So I leave, and then the next night I come back, and it's just Quincy and I. And we're talking for 2 hours.
Wow.
Whoa. And he's explaining to me his whole story, and then he gave me like a care package. Like I won a game show, and I got a bunch of stuff in my house. I'll bring some. He like gave me his whole... he's got a bunch of merch, I guess. Quincy merch.
He
gave me like a bunch of merch. And
what is it, like him on a mug?
And
what
he wrote
merch
like
it?
Like records
vinyls?
And
wow,
vinyls
cool.
And books he wrote. And he hand wrote notes to me, long notes to me. I swear.
He's telling you about his career. Like, what are you talking about to him? Like, was he wanting to pick your brain about
No, I had nothing to add. He would say, and that's when I told Michael Jackson, you should be a singer. And he said, I don't want to be a singer. I want to be a juggler. And I'm like, you're going to be a singer. And I was like, dude, similar story. My buddy wanted to go into sports gambling, and I told him, you should work at his stories are so epic, you know?
Right.
But it was the most out of place I've ever felt in my entire life.
And but then, nice guy.
And then he said to me at one point, he said, hey, I like that show you do with all them Playboy girls. I said, thank you, Quincy. And he goes, if you ever want to have a party at my place, you can basically...
You cannot attend and bring all the girls.
Yeah, that's what he said. So that's my Quincy Jones story.
Wow.
Fascinating.
And now he's dead.
I'm Tank Sinatra.
And I'm Investigator Slater.
And together we co-host a podcast called Psychopedia, which is a true crime podcast infused with comedy, making it a crimedy. Each week, Investigator Slater brings us a wild and thoroughly researched true crime case. I'm here to digest it all and react just like you probably are right there on the other side of the microphone.
Somehow, I've got to present each case with the detail and respect it deserves, while also cracking up at Tank's perfectly timed humor and thought-provoking questions.
Listen to and follow Psychopedia on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's cuffing season. People are trying to get into relationships now, understandably, because the holidays are almost here and no one wants to show up empty-handed. So as a result, there's a lot of first dates going on. Dating apps are buzzing right now. People are updating their profiles constantly. We got someone on the phone that was on a first date this past weekend, and we'll get to the only questions that truly matter, which is, where'd you go? How far'd you go? Let's do it.
Where'd you go? How far'd you go? Did you guys go play bingo? Where'd you go? How far'd you go? Did you guys take a slow or no?
Someone asking on the text line, I want to play Where'd You Go? How Far'd You Go with Klein and Quincy. That did not happen.
All the way, baby.
We did not. He had no interest
all
in me.
All the way
at
with history
all.
Meet.
That's a crazy story for sure. And I'm sure I'll remember other things as well. But RIP Quincy Jones. Very nice guy to me and very genuine, at least as far as I was concerned. Chris, you're on K-Rock. Good morning. How goes it?
Buenos dias.
Buenos dias. Let's get into it. How did you meet the person you went on the date with?
I met her on Chispa. It's like a Latino dating app.
Okay, and would you say you have good success there usually, or was this the first like match you had on Chispa?
Good success, you know. I've done 3 or 4 people.
I've done 3 or 4 people. Is that the catch line of the app? Because that's a pretty good app right there. All right, let's get to it. We each get one question. And then we get to the only questions that really matter, which is where'd you go, how far'd you go? The idea behind this is, can we figure out a scientific correlation between where you go on the first date and how likely you are to score on said date? Allie, your question for Chris, who met a lady on Chispa.
All right, I'm just going to play out a scenario here. So say I've come across you on Chispa, and I DM you, and I say, hey, I like your picture. Would you like to go out sometime? How do you respond to that? What's a typical response that you would have if some girl just DM'd you and asked you out, kind of?
I'll say thanks, but yeah, I just say thanks.
You would just say thanks?
You would say thanks. They say, I like your picture. Would you like to go out? And you say thanks.
Thanks.
Huh.
Wow.
Mysterious.
That is very...
Hey, look, it's working for him.
Now I'm all in my head, Klein. Does he like me or does he not?
Don't show too much interest.
Whoa. Yeah, you can't show too much right away. Can't be like, oh.
I would be so confused by that response.
Right, but what are you going to... What's the opposite? Schedule's wide open. When do you want to meet? And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, this guy seems
weird.
Thirsty.
Yeah.
What's your question for Chris, Jake the Nerd? He went on a first date this weekend.
Chris, do you have any hobbies?
Yes.
And what are they?
Guitar and... I get to go track every morning. I do like 2-3 miles.
You run 3 miles every morning?
Yeah.
And then you make people sit through your version of a Pearl Jam song?
No, it's because I used to be like a McFatty, you know, like Triple Patty. But I used to weigh like 260, but now I'm down to like 170. So
wow.
By the way, that's a great origin story. I'm going to start using that one because I was a really fat baby. I was a 10-pound baby when I was born, and I haven't really been fat since then. But I think that people love the story of... Like, when he tells that to, like, women on dates, I think they love it. Because I think they go, wow, this guy knows
he's
how
all
to...
into self-improvement.
Yeah, he knows how to improve himself. He understands. And also that he's vulnerable. He admitted that he used to be fat. What did you call yourself? A triple fatty patty?
A triple fatty McPatty.
All right, I got to use that.
McPatty.
I'm going to use that. I'm going to steal your story. That's good. Omar, what's your question for triple fatty patty?
Hey, fatty, what's your favorite kind of pie?
All of them.
Pie. Yeah. Does cheesecake count?
Sure, why not? All right. You're a cheesecake guy.
Definitely doesn't count as pie, but okay. You're a cheesecake
guy.
Fair enough. All right. I get it. This guy's going to balloon up by the end of this interview if we don't speed up. Chris, trying to figure out where you went, how far you went on your date. Your last long-term relationship, how long was it and why did it end?
It was 3.5 years. And it ended because... too much conflict, you know. We tried working it out, but the honeymoon phase just fizzled out.
Mm-hmm.
So you two were just arguing all the time about what in particular? Any specific argument that would come up a lot?
Who ate all the cheesecake?
I ate all the cheesecake. Yeah, no, it was just like small things, like oh, did you put the clothes away? Or like, oh, what have you done?
Right, bickering. Yeah. And then it became more bicker than fun.
And then she'd call you a fatty McPatty.
All right. Well, we learned a little bit about Chris. Now we got to try to figure out where he went, how far he went on the date. He met the girl in Chispa. He's had success there in the past. He's a cheesecake guy. Used to be fat. Now he runs 3 miles a day. Likes to play guitar. And the last relationship ended after 3.5 years when it went to full-on bicker mode. So he met a new person. Allie, where did they go? How far did they go? One guess each. Don't answer till we all guess.
Well, I feel like this was one of the few first weekends of kind of cold weather.
Yeah, it was.
And I think that they tried to do something cozy inside. I think that she just went over to your place. It seems like you kind of downplay. You're not going to go through a little extra effort because you don't want to seem thirsty. So you just literally invited her over. And you made something casual, just, you know, a recipe that's easy for you to make and impresses. And you guys just watched a movie on the couch. And then I think that you guys went to third base together. But I think that she started getting too into you and you dropped her.
Third base means mouth stuff?
Yeah. So okay. I think you got some third base stuff, which was exciting. But I overall you didn't want to continue.
Right. Jake, where did he go? How far did he go?
I think they went out to see some live music. And then they got drinks. And then they went to the Bone Zone.
Omar, where did he go? How far did he go?
Yeah. I think they went and they did something a little bit more adventurous. I'm going to say they went to one of those like horseback riding places. They went like horseback riding and they had a great time, went to a bar, and then they went back to his house and they went all the way.
You know, people like to have others around on a first date. I think Dodgers Parade is a great place. Others around, you're talking.
That's a terrible place for a first date.
Why is that a terrible place? There's a lot of people around. You can kind of cut in, cut out.
A borderline stampede? That's where you're like around your tried and true group.
Great.
Not people you've never met before.
Well, I think Dodgers Parade followed by it was going okay, so they went and got coffee afterwards, and then they did something again on Saturday. And yes, I do think he had sex, full sex.
Man, interesting that you would think to get coffee after the parade.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like it's a one's really...
Most people be drinking?
Yeah, it's not. You're not really committing, though. It's kind of like, I want to show I can keep it. Yeah, this guy probably ran a couple miles in the morning. He's probably not going full booze middle of the day. Huh. All right, are any of us exactly right, Chris?
Allie's the closest.
Yeah.
So where did you go? How far did you go on this first date?
So I've been on the app Chispa, right? And when I would say 3 or 4 people, it's because usually we hit it off during texting, like a few days, and then we usually meet up at a bar, and then we go to the Bone Zone. That's what I'm used to, right?
Good just for you.
One night stand.
Right.
But with this chick, she said, oh, you want to come over to like a post-Halloween party? And I was like, okay, cool. So we went to some house party, and then we got a little buzz, you know, got the feeling going on. And then since we both Ubered it to the house, she said, you want to come over to my place? I live about, I think she said like 5-6 minutes away. I was like, okay, cool. So she booked the Uber, went to her place. And then this was the shocking part. I got sobered up real quick. She asked me if I didn't mind doing it while she was on her period.
Oh, whoa. That's a
Halloween.
Tough ass.
The Halloween party. It's like, okay.
I was like, I get it's Halloween, but I mean, I've done it. And she was like, okay, because she said she thinks it's hot when she sees all that
whoa.
Stuff. She said it's not a kink. Like, she loves seeing all that. Like,
that's a lot to share with you. That's a lot of information to give you on the Uber ride back to her place, huh?
In five, that's a loaded 5 minutes.
That's a very loaded car.
So I was like, I was ready for the Bone Zone, you know?
Yeah. Huh.
And then she said, and then she's like, so you're down? I was like, I'm down. Let me just go to the bathroom real quick, you know?
And then you ran out the window?
No, wait. So after I went to the bathroom, I snuck to the back door. I ran down the block. I ordered an UberX Priority. I was like, let me get the hell out of here. This girl's going to suck me dry. What? And I just went home and I blocked her.
Wow. And that's it. And that was how the date ended.
That's it.
You snuck out.
I was scared, man.
Unbelievable.
Like, no,
this
right.
woman's going to suck me dry.
What a where'd you go, how far'd you go twist. Chris, thank you for sharing, as always.
This is like how she stays young.
Unbelievable. Thanks for joining us. There he is. The triple...
What a success story.
What a success.
And the funny thing is she has no idea what she did wrong.
She's probably still waiting right there. Yeah, he's been there a while. Quick break. Back with more show, your ADD News, and your LA Kings tickets after this quick break here. Get you a pair of tickets to the LA Kings at Crypto on the 16th of November versus the Red Wings coming up very soon here at K-Rock. You want to win, just keep listening. We'll have your chance to play some Netflix or Nonflix. A brand new month means new shows coming to Netflix and ones that we've made up. Figure out what's real, what's fake, and win yourself some Kings tickets. That's coming up later this morning. But right now, your news.
Grab your Adderall. It's time for ADD News. Ooh, bubble wrap.
Okay, if you didn't know already, I'll state the obvious. Election day is tomorrow. The political candidates are limping across the finish line, delivering their final speeches. I would love to know the final number of hours each of them has spoken over the past 6 months. It seems like a million. It's exhausting to even keep up with it all. But they do estimate around 4 million people in Southern California will be visiting the polls tomorrow, getting that sweet I voted sticker. And they said the polls have been open for the last week, so you can go today if you want. But if you want the work excuse, you got to go tomorrow.
You can go today quietly and then still use the work excuse tomorrow and do whatever you want.
If you want to use it for not voting,
just don't wear the sticker a day early. Don't be a rookie and wear your sticker today all proudly. Wait till tomorrow.
Don't post about it today and blow your cover.
Yeah, the key is, everyone knows the key, and this is why we have these elections. You go to work tomorrow, and then you say, I'm going to go vote, be a good American. And then you leave all day, do whatever you want to do. A lot of fun stuff you could do, a lot of bars open. And then you roll back into work at like 4:58 with your old sticker on and go, oh, those lines were crazy.
Also, look up some of those deals. Again, you get some freebies if you vote and you show that I voted sticker. You can probably get some free guac and stuff like that. I'll put together a list of some of the things that you can get for free tomorrow just by voting.
If Trump wins, you're probably not getting free guac, but...
Highly taxed guac.
I would imagine, you wear the sticker and you get the free stuff. Take advantage of all the freebies you can get.
All right, ever since Barbie was successful, everyone has been trying to get a piece by developing their own movies based on childhood toys. Margot Robbie, who just had her first kid, by the way, is developing a Monopoly movie now, I believe. And also Matchbox Cars are getting their own movie.
Yep.
And now it seems that Apple wants to get involved in the whole thing as well, because they've announced that they're developing a movie based on the Oregon Trail, which was, I don't know about you, but it was the first computer game I ever played.
I remember it was the only reason to use the... We did have a computer in the back of our class.
And at home, we had just one computer, and that was the computer that was used by everybody, and I played Oregon Trail about 1,000 times.
And for anyone who's like, you know, in their 20s now, doesn't know what we're talking about, the game really sucked because you would... You'd create a family. I think you maybe even got the name of the family. I'm not sure. And then you'd type in some information. And then it would be like, all right, there's a snake in the path. Do you want to go left or right? And you'd be like, left.
And you'd be like, dead.
And then it'd be like, yeah, everyone broke their ankle and you have dysentery and you're dead. And then you'd play the game again and it would be like, same thing. And it'd be like, all right, this time I'm going to go right. You go like, all right. There's a snake in the trail. You're like, oh, I'm not going to make the same mistake twice. I'm going to go right this time. And it'd be like, you just went into a river. You're all dead.
Just everyone had really bad luck back then.
Yeah, everyone died eventually.
I would like hunt and then I would get a lot of stuff. And then it'd be like, all your meat got infected and you all died. I'm like, God damn.
I think you were allowed... If I'm not mistaken, weren't you allowed to bow and arrow? There's like some hunting you could do. It was really
And I was very good at the hunting part.
Yeah, yeah, but it was.
And then also the trading post. You could be like, okay, I've got all these axles. I'm going to trade some axles for a cow or whatever.
Still end up dead somehow.
Yeah, you're like, I'm going to buy this oxen, and then the oxen would screw everything up for you.
You traded your axles for a cow, and they're like, cow trampled your family. You're dead. You're like, God damn, this Oregon Trail is tough.
And they wonder why all the millennials these days are stressed.
That's why.
I mean, we had the most stressful games. But they also said that the people that are behind the movie are the people who did Blades of Glory.
Oh, really?
That's interesting. I guess I would have thought it was going to be... I don't know what I thought it was going to be. I didn't think it was going to be like Blades of Glory style humor.
A funny,
but
Oregon,
I guess that makes
funny Oregon
sense.
Trail, like that's
kind of like City Slickers.
Yeah, I could say I would enjoy that. Get some Will Ferrell in there.
Yeah. Okay. And then obviously earlier we were talking about Quincy Jones, who unfortunately passed away. There are still many tributes coming through for Fernando Valenzuela, including the mural that is going up, and they were trying to get it done by his birthday. And like we said, if you're anybody here in Los Angeles, especially if you've passed, the first tribute is the mural.
Got it.
I guess this guy, Robert Vargas, has been working so hard on the massive mural honoring Valenzuela that he is not eating or sleeping until he is finished.
Yeah,
I'm 48 hours in and I have another 24 to go, but that's what it takes to do this mural justice and to say thank you with love to Fernando.
Yeah, Vanessa, let's Uber Eats him some food or something. Let's Postmates him something.
Yeah, like, I get that you're working, but, like, you can eat.
I know. Someone could, like, at least hold the burrito by his mouth, let him take a bite while he's painting. I get it. I mean, it should have been.
Hold the food up to him.
Well, he's already missed the birthday. If the goal was have it up and ready to go by his birthday.
Yeah, you missed it. So no one's worried about it.
So now, okay. You know, it can go up in a few days. Not a big deal. Just don't do a. Don't give him the Dwayne Wade treatment. I mean, let's make it actually look
just
like
it. Just don't do the. And you know what? If you are very tired and on no food, you're more than likely to do that.
Right. That's why.
To be like, okay, that looks good. Like, your mind is warped.
Yeah, get him. Find out where he... I know...
Get fed.
Send him something from us. I feel like we have... Send him some of that In-N-Out we have.
It's on First Street near the 101 in Boyle Heights. Right, someone go over there
and help him. Let's get that guy some food ASAP.
We get into tacos. The
tacos, Omar, are the best, right, Vanessa?
Right. I make the best tacos.
Okay, Mom. We'll have your tacos tonight.